From the secrets we keep to the lies we tell ourselves, get ready to challenge the status quo and dare to ask the questions others are too afraid to ask. Welcome to the Francesca Luca Show. Join Francesca as she ignites a meaningful conversation about things that really matter. Buckle up and get real. Now, to give you something to talk about all week long, here's Francesca.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. Just a little housekeeping. If you missed part of the show, you can mosey on over to my Apple Podcast page and listen there. And if the show resonates with you or someone you love, please share it. I'm also very grateful for your reviews, so thank you for that. Keep them coming. All right. What do you do when relationships, whether personal or professional, start to break down? How do you rebuild trust, communication, and understanding when it feels like everything is falling apart? Well, tonight on the show, I'm honored to welcome Tom Haggerty. He's a retired corporate executive, business fixer, and expert on relationships. Now, you're probably wondering, why would I have a business person on to talk about relationships? Well, he's written the book, The Business of Relationships, Using the Wisdom of Great Executives to Create Thriving Personal Connections. So he does know a thing or two. He has over 45 years experience leading organizations and navigating complex dynamics. He's seen firsthand how vital strong relationships are to success and well-being. All right, well, big welcome to you, Tom. Thanks for joining us tonight. I'm excited to get some insights.
Thank you, Francesca, and I am really happy to be here tonight. It's a great day in America, no matter what the headlines might say on an hour-to-hour basis, and I'm excited to share whatever wisdom I might have with your audience.
All right, well, good. Well, we'll get right to it, then we'll dive right in. So let me just ask you, what are some common mistakes that people make that sabotage relationships?
Well, I think there are several of them, and I'll try to go through that fairly quickly for you. But I think number one is we live in a very, very immediate culture, immediate gratification. You know, we get books delivered in an hour, we get groceries delivered, we, you know, transact business on the web, and it becomes very seamless. And I think we tend to say about our relationships that they ought to be just as immediate, and they don't require hard work. I mean, I look at a relationship almost like going to the gym. You know, if you're the person who says, I'm going to get the same benefit out of the thing that I put under my desk that pedals for me, you've seen those commercials?
Yeah, yeah.
And my legs are going to get strong, and they're going to be well-defined, and I'm going to be able to run a 40-yard dash in 10 seconds or whatever. That's not going to work. That usually doesn't work. And I look at relationships the same way. If you're not willing to put in the time and the effort and a little bit of sweat, then they're probably not going to work. I think that's probably the umbrella that fits over this, but I think a lot of us, when it comes to sabotaging relationships, we've got the prehistoric fight-or-flight response that we all deal with. You know, if conflict comes into the play, do we...
Next,
reaction to run away.
Right. And it's like today, even especially, I would definitely agree with that. But I'm not so sure how seamless it is when you're ordering things online or getting people on the phone or technology. I think that can create a lot of sweat, frankly. But I would agree with you that it is really... putting in the time is really key. And I don't know, just it seems more and more and more I'm reading about how, not that I didn't already know, and it just it's natural to want to be with other people, but it does seem that relationships are the key to longevity. The question is, what is this business of relationships? Why would you have written a book about the business of relationships?
Well, I am a passionate quote collector, and I have quotes that I've just written down and archived over the years. Mm-hmm. They're from business leaders, they're from politicians, they're from sports figures, musicians, et cetera. Anything that I thought could potentially have more meaning than the context in which it was said, but also point me in a more positive direction, if you will. You know, and so when I started to...
I've got your book right in front of me now, and I'm flipping through it, and I can see all these quotes you've got here. I love those kinds of books.
Well, and I think really what it tries to do, Francesca, is to say there was a certain context in which somebody like Jack Welch gave a quote, or somebody like Warren Buffett gave a quote, or Sheryl Sandberg, something like, there was a certain context to that. But if you take the quote itself apart at face value, does it point you in a direction where it could augment a personal relationship? And that was really what it started as. And frankly, between you and I, it started as an exercise for me to write essays to my kids, you know, who were becoming grown adults at that time, and say, you know, here's a really cool quote from Steve Jobs. I think it can speak to perspective, and having a perspective, if you will, a long-term view of a relationship.
Yet, Tom, it Steve Jobs did not have good relationships, though.
Well, he's the guy who on his deathbed said, I missed it. You know, I had all the material success, all the fame, all the accolades, all the industry-changing behaviors, but I missed out on the family. You know, you're right.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But I also think, and this is veering off just a bit here, but I think if, and I didn't ever read his book, but I do think that he was adopted, or he had a very troubled, not normal modeling, you know, situation there when he was growing up. And I think he was afraid of relationships. I think he was more comfortable with business.
I don't disagree with that at all. And what I've said before, I don't think I'm quote worthy on this, because it probably was somebody else who said it. But they said that saints have a past and sinners have a future.
Can you repeat that one more time?
Saints have a past.
Paints.
Like St. Thomas or St. John.
Oh, saints. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I thought you were saying paints. Okay, saints have a past. Yeah.
They said saints have a past and sinners have a future. And when I look at the people in this book, they are not saints. I mean, you don't get to the top of the corporate ladder by being altruistic and self, deprecating and oftentimes humorous and other qualities that we value in our personal relationships. You know, some of these people were not good actors.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What I chose to do was say, let's take the quote and see if it points us in a positive direction. And the Steve Jobs quote, if you have the book in front of you, like you said, yep. You know, if the Steve Jobs quote, he said in that speech to Stanford graduates, you know, when he gave the commencement speech back in 2005, you know, remembering that I'll be dead soon is one of the biggest tools I use to make major decisions. I think that's a pretty good quote, no matter who said it. and I used it as a way to point into one of those qualities of good relationships, which is perspective.
Mm-hmm. Relationships are complicated. You know, people are complicated. You know, the more I study people, the less I understand them. As a
Can I use that quote?
and the more I understand why people really do stay on Facebook because of all the dogs now, you know. I don't know if you're on Facebook at all, but, you know, sometimes I think one day, not long ago, I said, I don't even think I would be on Facebook if there weren't all these funny dog, they're like dog talking, you know, and it's just getting to be really a thing. But it's because they're just light and there's love and it's easy. But anyway, I don't want to get off onto that tangent. But anyway, all right. So what would you say is the role of emotional intelligence in building stronger connections? I think that's a big deal, being emotionally intelligent. But it isn't just emotional intelligence. I also think really being able to, you can understand what emotional intelligence is. Like, you know, you're ready to tee off, and in that moment you say to yourself, oh, I'm going to take a breath here, and I'm going to, you know, kind of like go through the thought process. And then you do it anyway. So, you know, let's just parse that one out for a little bit.
I think that, you know, I'll make it real simple. I think emotional intelligence is everything to a relationship. I don't think that a relationship thrives if a person is not self-aware and they are not willing to look in the mirror and they are not willing to take direction. They're not willing to solicit other opinions. All of those fundamental touchstones, if you will, of emotional intelligence, if you're just not that person, then the relationship is going to be pretty transactional, pretty temporary, pretty surface, if you will. You know, nobody's going to get at the core issues of what it takes to be in a great relationship, because okay is just okay enough. You know, that's so I think to your point, emotional intelligence, if you don't have it, if one or both parties don't have it, or a group doesn't have it, if they're interacting as a group, it's going to be a failed relationship, period.
All right, we're going to take a break, but when we come back, I'd like to know how we actually identify missing elements that will actually make a relationship thrive. So listeners, stay with us here. You can marinate on that, Tom, and we will be right back.
Don't touch that dial. More of the Francesca Luca Show comes your way next.
HM Auto Detailing handles entire fleets of vehicles for local businesses, and they're ready to make your car, truck, or SUV shine like new. Do you stare at that spill from when your coffee got away? Are you sad about the bag of groceries that toppled and stained? Maybe the kid's last food fight left war wounds in your vehicle. Or it just might be time for a good cleaning. Get a fresh start with HM Auto Detailing. Same day service, over 10 years experience, they even detail boats and aircraft. Call HM Auto Detailing today, 781-738-3301. 781-738-3301. HM Auto Detailing, 156 Union Street in Rockland.
All right, son. Time to put out this campfire.
Dad, we learned about this in school.
Oh, did you now? Okay. What's first?
Smokey Bear said to.
First, drown it with a bucket of water, then stir it with a shovel.
Wow, you sound just like him.
Then he said.
If it's still warm, then do it again.
Where can I learn all this?
It's all on SmokeyBear.com with other wildfire prevention tips, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You need help around the house. You need a handyman. How do you find just the one you're looking for? Go to locally owned and operated HandymanConnection.com. Handyman Connection puts you in touch with one of their carefully screened and background-checked craftsmen. You get the best help around for maintenance, installation, and remodeling services, carpentry, tiling, and flooring, and assistance with aging-in-place upgrades to your home. Handyman Connection also provides you with free in-home estimates and a one-year written warranty on labor from one of their experienced professionals. Call 781-829-3030. Or visit HandymanConnection.com. Your connection to quality craftsmen on the South Shore. One call, one connection.
Now, for more of the Francesca Luca Show on 95.9 WATD.
All right, we are back, and I am speaking with Tom Haggerty. He is the author of The Business of Relationships, Using the Wisdom of Great Executives to Create Thriving Personal Connections. And summer's around the corner, and I think it's going to be a great beach read. All right, welcome back, Tom.
Thank you.
So before the break, I had asked you how we can identify missing elements that actually make a relationship thrive.
Well, I think it's really a two-part question. One is, what are the elements of a relationship? And when I did research for this book, I looked at everything from the Harvard Business Review to the Northwestern Journal of Medicine all the way to marriage.com and pretty much in between. And what it yielded for me, Francesco, was a pretty universal agreement that there are fundamental qualities of relationships, and I picked 12 of those. You know, not every state or every publication had all 12. Mm-hmm. But those things are things like perspective and honesty and integrity and a sense of change and risk, commitment, respect, priority, trust, engagement, humility, resilience. I don't know if that's all 12, mm-hmm. but I think it's pretty close.
Yep.
And that's what the scholars, if you will, or the people who write about things more than I do, that's what they seem to gravitate around. As far as identifying things that you might be deficient in, mm-hmm. or you might be lacking completely, I think that comes from probably two areas. One would be, are you fearless enough to look in the mirror and say, am I this? You know, do I exhibit in my daily behavior that I am prioritizing those people I say are important in my life? Am I resilient? You know, it would be another quality. You know, am I resilient? Have I proven with past conduct and even present conduct that I can bounce back from adversity? You know, what about perspective? Am I a short-term person who says, you know, if you do me wrong here, I'm out? Or do I have a longer perspective that says I value the relationship enough that I'm going to work on it because I have the perspective of it being something that is worthwhile in the future?
I guess that depends on what the person, what is the reason for the fallout, right?
Oh, sure, right. Sure, absolutely. I mean, you know, but if, you know, I would say that's one thing. So let's not be soft. And let's look in the mirror fearlessly, would be one. The other would be, am I engaging with people who I say are close to me, who are my tribe, so to speak, who will point me in the right direction when I'm bumping into the guardrail? You know, they'll say, man, Tom, you don't seem to trust anybody, you know, or God, you're always complaining and you always make everything about you. I mean, humility might as well be a foreign language to you. You know,
you
gotta listen to those people, right?
Yeah.
So I think those would be my big two is one, be fearless about looking in the mirror and doing a self check.
Yep.
And two, be engaging with your tribe and valuing their opinion.
Thank you for that. What would you say is the current state of interpersonal relationships right now? You sort of touched on that in the beginning when I first introduced you.
Yep. I would say that it is borderline on life support. You know?
Yeah.
And now, all of us can say individually our relationship, we are thriving, you know, I'm engaged in my community, I'm engaged in my family, I'm engaged in my business with my friends, et cetera, et cetera. You know, individually we can say that. But when you look at the data that's out there and you say, here we are in the most powerful, richest country in the world, and yet our kids are three times more likely to grow up in a single-parent household than the worldwide average. You know,
that's everybody else.
We're three times greater than everybody else.
So there's divorce is more prevalent in the United States? I didn't even know that.
Oh, yeah. Significantly more so. And the incentives to stay married in other countries are much stronger, societally and economically.
Touch on that? What do you mean societally? So in what way? What do you mean?
Well, in society, basically, we are saying that divorce in America is easy, it's understandable, it has no downside other than personal.
That's pretty big.
And basically, you know, the other countries, if you will, they have certain incentives, you know, to staying married, whether it's tax incentives, whether it's assistance and employment, and frankly, even societal acceptance, You know, we accept divorce as it's just a natural thing. They didn't get along, you know. I think that, you know, there is evidence there that says in other countries, they are creating the environment to stay married, if you will, stay engaged with your partner. And we, on the other hand, are oftentimes doing the opposite, that there is no downside to this. And you can think about that, you know, as far back as you want to go. I mean, I know when I was growing up, divorce was very uncommon, not just in the Roman Catholic tradition, but everywhere. I mean, we grew up on streets where nobody was divorced.
Oh, yeah.
No. Now you grow up on streets where half the people are divorced.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. Now, when you say that other countries make it more attractive to stay married, why do you think that is? Or conversely, why is it that we do not make it so attractive or we make it perfectly attractive to get divorced?
Well, I think that basically what they see is a value in family. You
yep.
know, that if you have contiguous families, if you have families that stay together,
yep.
you know, it's just like we talked about relationships earlier. There tends to be better longevity. There tends to be better health. There tends to be less violence. There tends to be less unemployment, if you will, societally speaking. You know,
mm-hmm,
not mm-hmm. but societally speaking, that the people tend to have an orientation for the long haul, and therefore they create stability. And if the government or the society itself is incentivizing that and saying this is of value to us.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, look at other countries like the Norwegian countries. You know,
mm-hmm.
Right. they have the bleakest weather on the planet, but yet they tend to be the happiest. Why is
right.
that?
Because right.
they tend to have the lowest divorce rates as well, and better relationships with each other. So,
and why do you think that is, that they have that, they have better relationships?
I think, again, they value the long term.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. They value
mm-hmm.
long term. They have some sense of perspective. There is trust. There is honesty. I think it flows down from the ruling parties themselves. Certainly, mm-hmm. you know, the tone that is set in the country. And I think that's really fundamental to it, that if you live in a society that is not penalizing bad conduct, call it, you know, if you don't penalize bad conduct, then it becomes a lot easier for the individual to say, I won't be good, you know.
Right,
exactly. That's
yep.
where we are.
I'd like to ask you what types of relationships are most at risk, but I think we're going to take a break, Quinn. Yeah, we're going to take a break, and then when we come back, maybe you can answer that question for our listeners.
Sure.
All right, we'll be back.
Don't touch that dial. More of the Francesca Luca Show comes your way next. Oh gosh, Debbie, my new puppy is pulling me in a million different directions. One day it's off to the groomers, the next it's the trainer. Between that and my job, my head is spinning.
Oh, Quinn, it sounds like you need a one-stop shop for all your pet care needs.
That is exactly what I need.
Well, then you should come down and see me and my team at Doggy Works. We offer daily dog daycare, walking, training, and grooming all from one spot. We've got all the services you need to give your dog the best care it can get, all under one roof.
That sounds amazing. Where can I find you?
It's easy. We're located right on Route 14 in Pembroke, and we're open 12 hours a day, Monday to Friday. And if you can't make it during the week, we're by appointment for grooming and training on Saturdays, too. Your dog deserves the absolute best, so check us out at doggyworksllc.com or call us at 781-754-0329.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early, Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
HM Auto Detailing handles entire fleets of vehicles for local businesses, and they're ready to make your car, truck, or SUV shine like new. Do you stare at that spill from when your coffee got away? Are you sad about the bag of groceries that toppled and stained? Maybe the kid's last food fight left war wounds in your vehicle. Or it just might be time for a good cleaning. Get a fresh start with HM Auto Detailing. Same day service, over 10 years experience. They even detail boats and aircraft. Call HM Auto Detailing today, 781-738-3301. 781-738-3301. HM Auto Detailing, 156 Union Street in Rockland.
All right, son. Time to put out this campfire.
Dad, we learned about this in school.
Oh, did you now? Okay. What's first?
Smokey Bear said to.
First, drown it with a bucket of water, then stir it with a shovel.
Wow, you sound just like him.
Then he said.
If it's still warm, then do it again.
Where can I learn all this?
It's all on SmokeyBear.com with other wildfire prevention tips, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Now, for more of the Francesca Luca Show on 95.9 WATD.
All right, we are back, and I'm speaking with Tom Haggard. He is the author of The Business of Relationships, which we haven't even gotten into, but I'm going to welcome back, Tom. I'm going to ask you one last question, and then I do want to get into the business of relationships. So.
Absolutely.
What types of relationships do you feel are at most risk?
I'm not dodging the question, but I will say almost without exception, it's everyone. Every relationship you can think of is at risk right now, because it can be parent-child, it can be sibling-to-sibling, neighbor-to-neighbor, golf-partner-to-golf-partner, you know, boss-to-employee, lover-to-lover, you know, you name it, it's all at risk, because we all seem to be thriving on this, you know, negativity bias. We're all scared of being vulnerable. We all want to preserve our ego, and that cuts into relationships of all stripes. And I would just offer to you and your audience the following, and that would be that for the first time in history, we have two-thirds of our people saying, I fundamentally don't believe people can be trusted. You know, that is a Gallup poll. And when I say first time in history, it always teetered around that 45 to 50% range. Even going back to the 1970s, you had about 45 or 50% of the people saying, you know what? I don't think people can really be trusted, but now we're at 68%.
Wow, that's a lot. That's a lot. That really is. I thought most people felt that people are basically good, but I guess that's different than people are basically good versus being able to trust them.
Yeah. I would say there's a distinction there, and I think there's a big decline in people's feelings about reliability. Are you reliable? Or do you do what you say you're going to do? Mm. No, I think there's, you know, definitely increased loneliness contributes to that. I mean, we have 60% of our people in surveys say that their constant companion is loneliness.
Jeez, why?
That's a recipe for isolation.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, I mean, with COVID, I think that people got so used to being inside and Zoom and, you know, online everything. And I think it made them kind of almost lazy.
Yes. Yeah, I would say that. And I think the instant gratification that we talked about at the end of the show is one of those factors as well. But I think also, you know, we're living in this time where, you know, it doesn't really matter what political persuasion you are.
Right.
We are a polarized country right now.
And
we go from that to this suspicion that if if you take a slice of the pie, there won't be enough for me. This whole issue of economic inequality, that is a big contributor to lack of trust, that we just perceive unfairness. If somebody gets something that I don't have, it's got to be unfair. The pie isn't big enough for all of us. Mm-hmm. I think those are two big factors as well, that we're just becoming increasingly polarized and increasingly suspicious of each other.
It's kind of a sad state. Okay, well, let's get into, since the book is The Business of Relationships, let's talk about the business of relationships. And, you know, you say that CEO's wisdom is important. So let's talk about that. Let's share your thoughts on that.
Well, my thoughts are fairly simple on that. I think that CEOs in general come into this equation from the most demanding crucible that you could ever imagine, and that crucible is American capitalism. I mean, it is literally survival of the fittest, mm-hmm. and they are, you know, the successful CEO, they are people who are highly skilled at creating relationships. They do it with their shareholders, their customers, their vendors, certainly their employees, their stakeholders. It is their job to maintain thriving relationships, because relationships are going to be the engine of corporate growth. I mean, you know, there's no softer way to put that, if you will. And I spoke to that in my book, that we as a society tend to pay attention to people that don't have the pedigree for it. They have a cute saying, or they wrote a cute book, or they have a cute podcast or whatever, but they don't have the gravitas that, you know, oftentimes you say, boy, shouldn't I be paying attention a little more to people like Thomas Edison and Henry Ford or Steve Jobs? That's the angle I came at it. And like I said, being a quote collector over a period of time, I just began to start to connect the dots and say, is this observation not only relevant for the time that it was said? You know, when Jack Welch said, change before you have to, you know, and he was right up the road from you guys.
Exactly.
Yeah. He was in Fairfield, Connecticut, and he was the tough guy CEO of General Electric back in the 80s and early 90s. And when he said, change before you have to, it was a speech to his business executives where he was basically warning them. You know, he said, you are going to be number one or number two in your marketplace, or I will fix you, close you, or sell you. Okay? Mm-hmm. Pretty stark warning. And the follow-on to that was, change before you have to. I chose to look at it, you know, and I worked at GE, so I knew what he meant. We grew up in that environment, okay? Mm-hmm. But when I looked at it in a more broad sense, I said, well, what does that say in a relationship? Could it say anything in a relationship? Well, I said, well, change before you have to, that budding addiction, that financial irresponsibility, that passive-aggressive bullshit that you get into, and it gets you nowhere with your friends, or your aloof demeanor, or your bad temper. Change before you have to. So that's really where the book came from, Francesca, mm-hmm. is just trying to extract a deeper meaning in one of those 12 qualities of good personal relationships. And I had a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah. Is this your first book?
It is, yes.
Oh, that's excellent. That's great. You know, change before you have to is interesting. When I think of that, I think of that as just everything, right? It's like, you know, the person who just keeps eating and eating and eating, and, you know, they're it's getting worse and worse, and it's like then all of a sudden they go to the doctors and now they have, you know, they're pre-diabetic, or, you know, it's like, of course, these things are going to happen. If things are wrong and you don't make the changes, then inevitably, whatever that is, whether it be weight or whether you're, you know, if it's relational, you know, with your partner, if you're not being honest, I mean, it all ends up, and I think that's a great expression, change before you have to. I haven't really thought about that, but that's a great one.
Well, it was funny because the quotes that are in the book that people are going to know about, if you will, or at least they'll know about the people. You know, there's the Thomas Edisons and the Henry Fords and the Jobs and the Gates and the Warren Buffett and Sheryl Sandberg and Carly Fiorina and others that you say, yes, I remember. I remember that person. Don't know all the details, but I remember that name. But, you know, the ones I had the most fun with were often the most obscure, but still very high-achieving people. You know, there's a quote in the book about respect. I put it in the category of respect. And Anita Roddick said this. She said, if you think you're too small to have an impact, try going to bed with a mosquito. Okay? Think about that.
Yeah. Oh, boy, that is funny. That is
a wonderful quote. Yeah. And when I talk about it, it gets exactly the reaction you gave me. You know, it's a great laugh and a great observation. But here's a lady that was born in a bomb shelter in London during the Blitzkrieg, World War II.
Yeah.
She's born in a bomb shelter. By the age of eight, she loses two fathers. Okay, her natural father dies, and her stepfather, after mom remarries, her stepfather dies by the time she's 8 years old. And you'd think, that is a recipe for disaster. Single parent household, no government safety net, et cetera, et cetera. She grows up, she gets married, her husband goes off to the United States as a sales guy for a company, and his territory is America. So he's gone for months at a time. She founded a cosmetics company where she sold cosmetics out of the trunk of her car with her daughters. Okay?
Amazing.
And she ends up building this thing. I'm sure you would know about this, but she builds a company called The Body Shop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. A lot of people, especially women, when I mention that, they say, oh, yeah, I know that. Yep. I saw one. You know, she builds this company called The Body Shop, and years and years, decades later, she ends up selling it to L'Oreal for $6 billion with a B.
Oh, lunch money. Okay? Wow.
Then she goes on to found an organization that assists refugees of war, especially children. And it's still operating today. She died in 2007. Okay.
Wow.
That nonprofit is still operating today, providing assistance to children in war-torn countries. And it was interesting, upon her death, the British Prime Minister at the time said about her, he said, she is the greatest entrepreneur our country has ever had. He didn't say the greatest female entrepreneur or the greatest entrepreneur in the cosmetics business. He said, period, the greatest.
Yeah, wow.
And what a story that is when you think of where she came from. That simple quote that caused us both to laugh at the beginning.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a heck of an observation.
Sure is. We are going to take our last break, and then when we come back, I'd like to talk about transformative wisdom and what that actually means. So, listeners, stay with us here. We will be right back.
Don't touch that dial. More of the Francesca Luca Show comes your way next.
You need help around the house. You need a handyman. How do you find just the one you're looking for? Go to locally owned and operated handymanconnection.com. Handyman Connection puts you in touch with one of their carefully screened and background-checked craftsmen. You get the best help around for maintenance, installation, and remodeling services, carpentry, tiling, and flooring, and assistance with aging-in-place upgrades to your home. Handyman Connection also provides you with free in-home estimates and a one-year written warranty on labor from one of their experienced professionals. Call 781-829-3030. Or visit handymanconnection.com. Your connection to quality craftsmen on the South Shore. One call, one connection.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Need a reliable place for your pet? Does your dog crave extra stimulation instead of social isolation? Sign up for doggy daycare at the Dog's Den in Pembroke. With two separate yards and plenty of supervision, your dog will have a ball and tug-of-war toys and plenty of new friends. The Dog's Den also specializes in grooming. Each groomer at the Dog's Den has decades of experience and will leave your furry friend refreshed and ready for their next adventure. Schedule your grooming or daycare today at thedogsdengrooming.com.
Now, for more of the Francesca Luca Show on 95.9 WATD.
All right, we are back, and let me reintroduce my guest, Tom Haggerty. He has written the book, The Business of Relationships. Welcome back, Tom.
Thanks, Francesca. It's been great.
So, let's talk about transformative wisdom and what that really means.
To me, transformative wisdom is something that A, you interpret as having a great meaning, and most importantly, B, that you do something about it. You take some action because of it. It's great to sit down and read the Bible. It's great to sit down and read Carl Jung or Sigmund Freud or Wayne Dyer or anyone else. I'm reading about it. I can quote from it, but I don't do anything about it. The doing is essential, and that's where I think what I tried to do in the book, maybe somewhat feebly, but tried nonetheless, was to say, after you read the quote, and after you read a bit of the bio and what my interpretation of the quote is, what do you do then? And I have, at the end of each essay, a little sentence called one thought, and then another called one action. And I'll give you an example of
that. So your book is like a workbook.
Yeah, it's a place where you can jot notes.
Yeah.
It's a place where you can do, like the Anita Roddick quote that we just read about the mosquito.
Yeah.
I said one thought would be, it is often in the smallest ways that we can demonstrate the greatest respect. Just let that sit for a minute. It's not a great revelation. It's not quote worthy, but it's there. And then I said, here's one action you can take. If you believe that you're not too small to have an impact, good or bad, why don't you make a list of small ways that you want to show respect to others in your life? And then begin to do it. Step out and do it. Be vulnerable about it. So that's what I try to do, is not just make it a reader, so to speak, but make it a participant, that we're together on this journey, and that hopefully this workbook,
good idea,
this workbook could help some people. So I'm hopeful.
So can you give us some examples
of transformative wisdom?
Sure. When you said that, I was thinking how, when I'm in the supermarket, I don't even know where this comes from, but for some reason I always seem to find like the older people and help them up. Help them with their taking the groceries out of their carriage or opening the door for them. I love to do that. I just do. And it just makes me feel good. And it's I don't know if I'd call that transformative wisdom, but it's a little thing, and it makes me feel good. And I know it makes them feel good. And sometimes these people are like, oh, thank you so much. Like it's the biggest deal to them,
I'll tell you, I think it's a huge deal, and I think I would disagree with you that I think it is transformative, because it transforms you, and it transforms them. We're not talking about the need to measure ourselves against some objective that few of us will ever attain. It is in the small things. And
But that's easy. It's not a difficult thing to do, though. It doesn't take any kind of when I think of transformative wisdom, I think of something that's really more difficult, like putting your carriage back. No, I'm kidding. When I think of that, I think of something more, it could be something like you've made a plan to go out with a friend to a party. You really don't want to go. It's a long drive. You're tired. It's been a long week. you've got a lot of stress, you just feel like you just want to pour yourself a glass of wine and maybe watch some Netflix or something. But you do it anyway because it's a friend and it's important. So, you know, to me, that is more, I look at that more as transformative wisdom. It's like, okay, I need to do this because you always want to, you know, friends are like plants and you've got to water your plants and you've got to water your relate, you know, you've got to nurture your relationships, you know, the ones that are really important. That to me feels like it takes more energy or effort, but helping, you know, an old person take their groceries out of the carriage or opening the door for them doesn't seem like a big deal at all.
Well, you know, it's funny when you read various articles, it talks about how people now are starved for a smile. You and I think of that and say, well, why would that be? You know, don't I walk into a bar or a restaurant and smile? Don't I smile when I see the guy at the golf course who's the starter? Mm-hmm. Apparently we don't, because people say they're starved for a smile. They're starved to be acknowledged as just...
Because the world's moving so darn fast, you know, and we're trying to, you know, I mean, I do it myself, you know. You know, I'll go to a yoga class, fly into the radio station, you know, gotta, you know, print off the notes for the prep for the show, give my producer the telephone number, boom, 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 boom. And next, right after the show, I've got to do something else. And, you know, so it's like, because we're always in a rush, that thinking about smiling just seems like, oh, that seems like a lot of work, you know. It seems like it's just adding to it or something.
if you wanted to do a funny little experiment, and I think you, just from what I surmise from the conversation we've had, this would be right in your wheelhouse, okay? Mm-hmm. Just try this someday when you're walking downtown in Boston on the street and smile at somebody that you don't know.
Yeah.
Or smile at them and say hi. It's jarring to people. They're not expecting it, you know? And it really has that reaction like, whoa, was it me or was it the person behind me? I don't know you. You know, what are you doing?
Well, you know what? These things to me do feel like a little natural. Like Quinn, the producer of the show, I was listening to the radio the other day, and his customer, he wrote up this like really great commercial. I mean, it was funny. I was laughing out loud. And because I thought it was so funny. So, of course, I wanted to tell him because I wanted to share with him that, you know, it was so creative or whatever. But to me, that doesn't seem like something that's difficult to do. It's something that I want to do. I have a relationship with him, and it was funny, and I wanted to share it with him, you know. So right. I do try to, because there's other side of me that can be like, you know, once you get me going, if I'm mad about something, forget it. You don't want to be on that side either. So, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe that's my way of making up, but I do try to do things, you know, I don't know, again, that's not trying, to me, that's not trying, but I am thinking about one other time, and it's interesting that we're talking about this, because where I used to live, there was they'd have a van of, you know, guys who had to do community time, and they'd have to clean up the beach. And every day they would be out there, and I'd be walking my dog, and, you know, they'd look at the dog, and, you know, a lot of people, well, I shouldn't say a lot, because I don't really know for sure, but I think some people would just really shy away from them. They were criminals, they were doing community service. I got into this habit of every day, you know, I'd walk the dog, and then they got to know the dog's name, and then I would talk to them, and the next thing you know, they're telling me their stories, and I was, you know, I would say to them, yeah, you know what, but we all, you know, deserve a second chance, and, you know, that was then, this is now, you know, whatever. But I found that, like, really, I felt that, to me, I felt that to me was transformative. I never forgot that, because it was, you know, it made me feel really good that I could make such a difference in what was really a difficult, you know, life that these kids, you know, got into, you know. And I don't for one minute think that there's not a very fine line between, you know, I think that a lot of people can get themselves into trouble and not necessarily, you know, be in the wrong place at the wrong time. They were born into a family that they didn't have a good model or whatever. So to me, I think those kinds of things are important.
Yeah, well, I would say to you and your listeners, There is a quote in the book that I really had a lot of fun writing about, and it's from somebody that not a lot of us would recognize right away unless we were in the industry. But he said, an idea can turn to dust or magic based on the talent that rubs against it, you know, like the genie lamp, so to speak, you know. And when you think about your interaction with the people cleaning up the beach, I might think about my interaction with the police officers who provide security at a stadium. You know, pretty easy gig. But how important is it to them, you know, that you say, thanks for your service, thanks for being here today? Mm-hmm. I had a discussion the other day with someone about the importance of saying thanks versus just being grateful. And we were talking about how terrible our professionals are. And I'm talking about lawyers, doctors, accountants, you know, whatever the professional consultants like me. You know, we are terrible at saying thanks. You know, we take the speaker's fee and we might say thanks. You know, I'll see you next year at your convention or whatever. We, you know, but when is the last time that your doctor said to you, Francesca, thanks for coming in for your annual physical. I really appreciate you doing that with me. And it's funny to think about.
But you're right. You're right. I've chosen him. That's right. I think your book's the name of your book should be Good Manners. but you know, it's true and it's refreshing. I love listening to you because I think that we do get very wrapped up and, you know, we can get sidetracked and we're, you know, our minds are somewhere else. And I do think it does make a big difference. You know, I mean, I think it really, really does. And the amount of time it actually takes, you know, this is interesting. So I'm sorry, go ahead. What?
I don't know if we're running short on time, but I would offer an observation. I read a book a while ago that talked about the uncomfortable truth.
Uh-huh.
And basically this author said that the uncomfortable truth is that not only will you and everyone you know die, but everything you do and everything you say will only be remembered by a very few people for a very short period of time. And I think for a lot of us, we could tend to say, well, that gives me license to run the car into the guardrail over and over and over again. I can destroy relationships, I can destroy friendships, I can destroy companies, whatever I want to do, because A, nobody's going to remember me, and B, nobody's going to care for very long either. And where this author spun it was, why wouldn't that be more liberating to you? If that is the uncomfortable truth, that you are not that important,
right,
then that ought to give you license to do everything you possibly can to do good.
Right.
Because if you fail, nobody's going to remember anyway, you know? And that's kind of the slant, I guess, that I come at some things with, arguably pretty late in life, but you know, I come at it that way. Why not take the risk? Because if you're successful, somebody's going to be grateful for that. You know, the person in the grocery store that you assist or the guys cleaning up the beach that you compliment, somebody's going to benefit from that. So why not do it?
I couldn't agree with you more. Well, we are out of time, Tom, but it's really been so interesting, and I've thoroughly enjoyed our interview. So thank you so much for being a guest on the show.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure, and good luck with a great summer in Boston.
All right, you take care. All right, we've got to wrap things up and say goodnight. I hope you enjoyed the show, and if you did, please consider writing a review to me. See you next week, same time, same place. Make it a great week.
A nunca ficar, ele não quer ir embora, mas ele manda pra fora o bebê. Tá cheio de malandro que fica te ganando, malandro em família, malandro em quadrilha como tem. Agora tá chorando, agora tá chorando, agora tá chorando, agora tá chorando pelo que perdeu.